So, Cassie, would you like to come up front with Aubrey, please? Okay. Well, I'll give you a couple more minutes. I'll set the stage. How's that? So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 13? We'll do the baby dedication, and then we'll release the kids and the children's church workers. I think this is a passage that most of us are pretty familiar with. I just want to highlight a couple things, and then we'll go on to the baby dedication. So this is Mark chapter 10. We're going to read passage 13 through 16. Mark 10, starting with verse 13. It says, "Then they brought little children to him," and the key in this is they brought little children to him, because I think sometimes this is actually mispreached, like kids ran up to him, when it clearly says they brought little children to him. So the way I understand, I looked at it in the commentaries, looked at it in the original languages, all that stuff, it would seem that moms and dads were holding infants, maybe even toddlers at the oldest, and brought them up to Jesus so Jesus could then take them out of their hands and could hold them. That's the scenario. So it says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." And so, like I said, they brought the little children up to him, and then when the disciples saw that it was basically slowing down their whole planning that they had for the day, the disciples got irritated with them. But I think if they could have looked through spiritual eyes, they wouldn't have rebuked the parents. Because what Jesus saw is kind of like what we're doing here today. We're going to lay hands on little Aubrey. We're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for Cassie. As a congregation, we're going to basically make a declaration that says, we're going to pray for this family. We're going to encourage this family. We're going to do everything we can to support this mom and grandparents as they raise little Aubrey onto the Lord. So our faith isn't just in today. It is. But our faith is going down the road decades. For when Aubrey is a mom. For when Aubrey's a grandma. That's what we're praying for today. That's what the disciples didn't get. The disciples are like, hello, it's Mother's Day. We need to get out of here on time. Don't drag this thing out. I thought I'd get more laughs with that. Maybe I hit the button. So it says Jesus was greatly displeased, and that word in the Greek was literally indignant. And so I looked up what indignant meant in Webster's. Webster says it's feeling or showing anger at unfair treatment. Jesus was ticked off at the 12 for how unfairly they treated the parents when these parents wanted to get a blessing from Jesus for their kids' whole life, not just that day. He was greatly displeased. He was indignant. So he says, "Let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Do you know that like some churches, many denominations have baby baptism? And so baby baptism is all about form. Right? It's man-made religion. You can't find baby baptism anywhere in the whole Bible. Baby baptism, some denominations actually believe baby baptism will save the baby. The baby is now saved and going to heaven because they were baby baptized. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God says that by faith, you know, scriptures that Lois read, by faith in Jesus is how I am born again, born from above, and all my sins are forgiven. My parents can't do that for me. What my parents can do is pray for me, bring me to church, teach me the Bible, encourage me in the way of faith so that when I'm old enough and I got enough wits about me, when I hear the gospel, I can make that choice for myself. So it's a big difference. So what the disciples wanted to do with religion, in out on time, out on time, let's just check the boxes and get going, Jesus is like, no, come on, give me that little boy. I'm just going to lay hands on him. I'm going to pray a blessing on him, on his whole life. When he grows up, He's going to affect this community. Let's just pray for these little ones. That's what the kingdom of God is. It goes down the road. It's not just in the service. It is in the service, but it goes down the road decades for these little kids we're praying for and setting them off onto God. And so Jesus would take these kids up in his arms, and it says, and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. So it's like he took these kids and hold them with one hand, and then the Lord Jesus lays hands on these babies and bless them. Whew. Tell me that didn't change the trajectory of these kids' lives, right? It's like totally different going from that point on. So is Cassie ready to come up yet? Awesome. I should say, I know Cassie's ready. Is Aubrey ready? So there's no substitute for a parent's faith, praying, and believing great things for their kids. Me taking and dunking this kid in some water, sprinkling water, it's got no spiritual power to it. So what we're actually doing is we're coming alongside her. Exact, perfect illustration. Coming alongside this young woman to agree to help her pray and raise Aubrey to love the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to just read a little bit out of this little book. And then if you agree with everything, Cassie, if you could just say yes. And then I'm going to have a little something to declare for us. And if we agree, we'll stand up by a show of faith. So so believing that Aubrey is a gift from God and that God will hold you accountable for her, do you solemnly confess that it is your purpose to dedicate her to the Lord and to his service? Will you faithfully discharge your God-given responsibilities as a parent, as outlined in God's word? Will you pray with and for her, instruct her faithfully in the teaching of God's holy word, teach her to read the word of God, to pray and to lead a holy life? Will you take her faithfully to church and do all that's in you to bring her to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If you will, answer, I will. Awesome. And now this is to the congregation. As a local congregation, we bear responsibility for this young family. Will you pray for this family, encourage them as they grow together, and do all that's in your power to assist in Aubrey coming to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord? If you will make that covenant right now with this family, would you please stand? Andy and Denise and Sabrina, could you come join the rest of your family? Heavenly Father, as we're all standing here right now in agreement, in faith, for this young life, Lord, we're doing the best we can to what we see Jesus do in the Word. As Cassie's holding her up, as we lay hands on her, we are blessing her into all of your purposes and plans for her life. Father, we're asking right now for this young life that as she grows, that she will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own personal Savior at a very young age. At an age so young that we will be astounded that she knows what she knows at that early age. And Lord, we just pray for Cassie at the same time, that you would give her wisdom and discernment. She's been a great mom for Sabrina, and all of that just doubled. And so, Lord, we just pray for wisdom and discernment in how to speak to both kids, not only together, but individually in those moments when she has to guide one or the other. Father, we pray for great strength for her as she's mom to two girls now. Would you please bless her in wisdom, discernment, understanding, with godly strategies? Would you help her to see the gifts and abilities in both of her daughters? Lord, would you help her to see little Aubrey now? What's her main gifting? What makes her tick? What does she like doing? What does she not like doing? What's necessary to be shaped and formed in her? And what's necessary to just help her leave behind and walk away from. But Lord, we pray more than all these things. Right now, we pray your blessing on this family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. Boy, you're sure good, Sabrina. Yeah. All the kids are released along with the children's workers. If you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please? Many times on Mother's Day, I've preached out of Proverbs chapter 31, talks about a righteous woman, a godly woman. Today I'm going to talk about an example of a godly mother, and I think if she's not one of the tops for most of us, she's got to be pretty close to the top. Certainly, Mary, Jesus' mom, would probably rank in the top five moms in the Bible for all of us, right? I think that's probably pretty safe. So I just think, as I look at the, this is probably what we would call the Christmas story in May, but as I looked at this, I was looking at several different moms in the Bible, and there's a lot of great ones. But as I was looking at this, and when I think about Mary and all that she went through, I mean, what a challenge to have to try to raise the Son of God. You know, as a parent, all of us have thought, man, am I going to screw this kid up? Am I screwing this kid up? Oh, man, today I should have done this. Oh, today I shouldn't have done that. Oh, this week I'm going to work on. All of us have been there. And that's for just regular kids. Think of what must have went through Mary's mind. It just must have been crazy. So even from, we're going to read where the angel comes and talks to Mary. From right that point on, it took great faith on Mary's part. And I just want to kind of compare, again, you know, this morning I was kind of comparing baby baptism with baby dedication, how one is just a form of religion, the other one is expression of the kingdom of God in the body of Christ. And it's two very different things, two different goals, two different fruits. This story is the same thing. This story is about the epitome of religiosity and a guy who is a priest who is doing everything right and totally misses God, and a young teenage woman who probably wouldn't have been allowed in many places in the temple at that time gets chosen by God to be the mother of God. Whoa. Okay, so let's start off. We're going to read in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 25. So it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar. By the way, this is Zacharias. Zacharias is the priest that's been picked to go in and offer the burnt sacrifices and stuff. He is the most important person on this day in all of Israel. He is the man on this day. And as we're reading through this, look for a couple of words. One says that he did everything right. And he was a certain priest. Well, when the Bible says a certain, that means it wasn't random. It was a certain one. God picked this individual. So he's a certain priest and says he's doing everything perfect, commandments and ordinances. And it says that God chose him. They threw the lots. They kind of basically rolled spiritual dice. And this guy was picked to be doing this on this day at this place. So when the angel shows up, this is God's plan way back over here to pick Zacharias to be in the temple on this day to have a God encounter with this angel. Now watch what happens in this story. It's amazing. Verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Of all the answers Zechariah could have gave, I think this might possibly be the stupidest one you can come up with. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Now, if you can just hold your finger there for a second. Have you guys, I'll bet all of us, have talked to a person or a couple that have tried to have a baby for several years and haven't been able to have it? It's a desperate thing. It's a painful thing. It's a hard thing to go through. Here's Zacharias, who I'm going to guess he was like maybe 60s. He had been praying for a baby for, I don't know, guess 40 years maybe. An angel shows up at church when you're on duty after you've been picked by lot. They threw lots. You're the dude. You're the guy. You're up. Of everybody, go in and do the most important thing at church on this day. And boom, an angel shows up and says you're going to have a boy. Oh, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from the day he's born. And he's going to do powerful things in the kingdom, turn all these people back to God. Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah, prove it. That's what he does. It's crazy. So the angel, verse 19, and the angel answered and said to him, I think the angel's a little ticked off. He says, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Wow. Amazing. So here's this guy that's been picked. He's certain. God has handpicked him for this day to do this amazing thing, to answer his number one prayer of his whole life. I'll bet he prayed this prayer to have a son more than any other prayer in his whole life. And so God didn't send a prophet to him. God didn't send another priest to him. God didn't send his wife to him with a prophetic word. An angel shows up at the altar. And he's like, "I don't see this happening, dude. I'm pretty old. My wife's even older than me, or at least she's as broken down as me. It's not going to happen." And the angel, I think he was irritated. The angel's like, "Don't you know I'm Gabriel? I stand in the presence of the Lord. He sent me to give you this message." Fine. This is the best news you ever had, and you're not going to spread any of it. You're not going to say a peep. How do you like that? And he didn't. He couldn't brag about his wife being pregnant, and God answers his prayer, and the angel showed me. He couldn't say none of that. It cost him. He still got his son, but come on, dads. You know he wanted to go and do some bragging about his boy that's going to come being full of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to change the whole church. An angel told me, and all of a sudden his old wife's pregnant. He missed out on all that stuff. So, you know, people, many times I've heard people say, like, they may be struggling with something, may have acted like Zacharias, and they know they haven't acted as in a way they should have. And so when you tell them about maybe this was a bad choice, or maybe you should change from this and do this, I've heard this response so many times. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, that's okay, God knows my heart"? Have you ever heard that? I've heard that a lot of times. As if their heart condition that produced the sin will somehow get them off the hook. It's like, I think that's the problem. God can see our hearts. It's like, that's the condition of my heart isn't proof God owes me something. The condition of my heart is proof I need God's grace. Zechariah's heart condition, it's right there. You didn't have to try to discern his heart condition. He didn't trust God at the key time, maybe the pivotal moment in his life. Now let's go back and read some more of this Christmas story in May on Mother's Day. Now let's see how Mary responds, because Mary has a very similar thing. This is the same chapter. It's all put right together. It's like one story. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, Same angel, the angel Gabriel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled by his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary says to the angel, "Well, how can this be since I don't know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." So at first glance, maybe even second glance, maybe even a hundredth glance, it looks like you've got two people that get told almost the same thing by God. They respond almost the exact same way, but one gets punished and one gets blessed. Have you ever thought about that with this story? Me and Jeanette were talking about this about a week ago, and I had a light bulb moment. I don't know if you told me it or if I got you told me it. Okay, that's why it's so good. Okay. So this whole passage finishes up with verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So like I was saying, God knows our heart. He knows what's going on inside us and around us. God loves us so much, he's working out his plan for our lives, and every one of our plans unique and special. And especially, I'm talking to all the moms here today, Mother's Day, because if we were to dissect Mary's life and if we were to dissect Zechariah's wife's life, they had a lot of concerns. I'll bet both of them, I mean, Mary might have just been a happy teenager until she was told she's going to be pregnant all of a sudden. And then instantly, she would have to think, well, how are people going to take that? When I walk around pregnant and I try to tell them, oh, it was God. I didn't mess around, God did it. How many people do you think believed her? I don't think many. Elizabeth and Zacharias, they've been trying to have a baby forever. And in this society, in the Jewish society back then, if you couldn't have a baby, that meant you must be a sinner. God was judging you and punishing you if you couldn't get pregnant. Wow, that would be a rough crowd to have to live in, have to grow old in, and both of them were old in this. So when I say God knows your heart, God does know your heart. But the great news is, he gives us unlimited grace in a heart relationship with him. Because I don't care how many years you've been with the Lord, I don't care how good you think you're doing or how bad you think you're doing, all of us on our very best day to any one of us on our very worst day, there's almost no difference when you're saved through grace in Jesus Christ. Because it's not like Jesus and me on my best day. They're not, now God approves of me. It's not like Jesus, I'm going to have to do some works. I'm going to have to do extra prayer. I'm going to have to study the word more. I'm going to have to add all this stuff to Jesus so that my worst day, God still accepts me. I think we have to remind ourselves that both of them were sent Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, to be given their notices before God exposed the heart condition. You know, sometimes when we sin or we respond in a poor way, we make a bad decision, sometimes we're surprised that junk's still in us. But can I tell you, God's not surprised? Moms, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many moms in this room feel like you're a failure here and there as a mother? No hands. Don't nod. I'll bet there's been more than one day that every single mom in this room feels like she failed. Like, Am I still doing this? Am I still not doing that? I thought by now, when my kid was 1 year old and I was praying for her, I was sure by the time she was 10, I was going to be super mom, super saint. I'd be able to handle all this stuff, no problem. 10 years experience, got it. The only problem with that is that baby turns into a kid who turns into a teenager, who turns into a young adult. So 10 years later, you might be really good with a baby, a toddler. But now you've got a 12-year-old. And by the time you get good at dealing with a teenager, well, they're adults. By the time you get good at dealing with kids and teenagers and adults, you come into your sweet spot. Because about that time, they have kids. And now you got all this experience, and you can be a great grandparent. That's how it works. So let me just give you one little piece of advice that I've learned. And I've already told my daughter this. If I'd have known how good grandkids were, I would have been nicer to her. Because she's done such a great job with her kids. Man, grandkids are really awesome. So you got Zacharias and Mary, and basically they respond almost the same thing. They both get told they're going to have a kid, and they both kind of respond and go, well, how's that going to work? That's kind of impossible. But there's a huge difference in this thing. And if we don't see the big difference in this, we're going to miss how faithful God is. Because if we leave it like I already said, for many years I read this story, and I had to scratch my head and go, okay, so why were you so hard on him when she kind of got a pass? Because they both didn't understand what was going on. They both kind of said, no, that's not going to happen, and how can this happen? And he gets hammered, and she gets, okay, how's this work? If we don't sort that out, though, there's kind of a hint of, well, sometimes God's not fair. Sometimes God's not totally just. If we leave it there, that's what happens. Those are the seeds that are sowed. And so we have to go back. We got to eradicate those seeds and go, no, hold on. I have to filter the Bible through, I know God's always just. God's always righteous. God's always loving. If I don't understand it, that's on me, not on God. So now let's look at the story just a little bit closer. Zacharias said God can't do this because his wife and him were really, really old. In verse 5, it says a certain priest was picked. That's Zacharias, a certain one. He's handpicked for this. Every mom, every woman in this room, you've been handpicked for certain things for God to do in your life. Every single one of you are special and unique. And if God was here talking to you, he would say, and a certain woman. And then he'd say some more about your story. You've been picked just as surely as Zacharias. It says, he was a certain priest in verse 5, and he was chosen by lot in verse 9. So he was handpicked to be in this group, and then out of the group he was handpicked by throwing lots so that he was the right guy at the right place at the right time for the right thing. I want to say that to all you women here today. You may be in a season of very samedness. I know I used to, in Tool and Die, it seemed like I could get so stuck in going into the shop and doing the same old stuff hour after day after week after month after year. Sunday nights, I started getting a stomach ache, headache, just thinking about, oh, here's another 60-hour week. Oh, no. You might be in that, knocking your head against a problem. You fill in the blank, whatever that problem. I doubt it's Tool and Die. But maybe your job's like that. Maybe it's just taxing on you and it's wearing you out. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional. I don't know. But I just want to make sure that you guys all hear me loud and clear. You're special and unique to God. And I think on Mother's Day, while we're celebrating one of the greatest things God ever blessed us with, moms, I think today's a great day to say, okay, God, I don't understand everything, but I know you love me, and you're awesome. You are my God, and I know that you can change my situation. So here's Zacharias. He's definitely, he was picked to have this amazing interaction. He's in the holiest place, doing the holiest thing, on duty, handpicked, and Gabriel shows up. Gabriel's one of the big three in heaven. You got Michael, you got Gabriel, and you got the devil. And the devil got kicked out of there. So Gabriel and Michael, the last two generals of the angels, one shows up to talk to this guy, and he misses it completely. Oh, my gosh. So the angel shows up. Good old Zach, he's shocked, and he gets afraid. And Gabriel says, well, you're going to have a boy. And Zachariah says, no, I won't, because it's impossible. Wait, what? And here's where the big difference is between these two. He says, no, that's impossible. Now, Mary says, I think that's impossible. I've never known a guy. The big differences in these things, Mary is a young lady who loved God, not a trained priest on duty. So wherever you find yourself right now, I think sometimes we are our worst enemies because we can beat ourselves up in, because maybe we didn't respond to a challenge the way we hoped to, and maybe we were a little more emotional than we should have been, or whatever it is. But sometimes we can judge ourselves and go, you know what, if I could respond a little bit better, I think I could get in God's good side, in his good graces. You're saved by grace. You can't earn grace. If you earn it, it's a paycheck. Grace is a free gift. How about we believe that you've been handpicked? You are a certain woman, every single one of you. You're a certain woman. You're here today on purpose because God's working things in your life. And now let's ask God for this next step in your life through grace in Jesus Christ. Not because your pastor is some great pastor. Mm-mm. Not because you belong to the best church in town. Uh-uh. Not in anything people are doing. Otherwise, we're probably going to fall short. God, we believe we are certain people doing certain things in our lives according to your certain plan for our lives. So here's Zacharias. He was the grand poobah in the temple. Here's Mary, a regular old teenager. Mary didn't have any example in this entire Bible of where a virgin got pregnant and had a baby. It never happened. Oh, by the way, it's never happened since. So when Mary said, I'm all for it, but how's this going to work? Because I'm a virgin. That's way different than Zacharias. Remember, Zacharias is the number one guy in the temple. He's Mr. Know-it-all. He's got all the answers. He's been handpicked. He's the most important guy right now. He's the only one that goes up and puts stuff on the altar for the prayers going up to God. He represents every person else in all Israel on this day. When God says, you're going to have a baby, what does he say? Can't do it. It's impossible because we're both super old. If Mr. Spiritual could have got his Bible out, and if he could have read in the book of Genesis about a guy, you guys probably heard of him, Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. His wife, Sarah, she was a young chickie-poo. She was 90 when she had her first baby. So when Zacharias, who's probably about 60, he might even been in his 50s, he might have been in his 40s. He wasn't older than 60. When God sent an angel to say, guess what, dude? You're about to have a kid, even in your old age. He could have done cartwheels and said, oh, baby, yeah, just like Abraham. But Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac screwed some stuff up. My boy's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's going to turn all Israel back to the Father. Yeah. You see this old body? Oh, we're going to get busy tonight. Come on, baby. Let's go out to dinner, and it'll be an early night. Right? That should have been his answer. Instead, it's like, oh, no, I don't think that can happen. I'm old. Dude, I'm Gabriel. I stand before God himself. I was sent here to, it's like, I wonder if Michael the archangel was over there going. Gabriel's always the communicating angel. Michael's the archangel who always shows up for battle. Just a side issue there, side note there. So, let's see. Abraham is called throughout the whole Bible. Abraham's called the father of faith, the father of all who would believe in God for their salvation. Wow. So in this story, I've been trying to encourage us, don't compare yourself with each other. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't even look at the physical limitations that are on in your life right now, or the financial limitations that are going on in your life, or personal limitations. I want to encourage every woman here in this place today, and every father, every person that's here today, but especially moms on Mother's Day. When I've been talking today, I've been talking about challenges and struggles and maybe some things you're hoping to do better or maybe do less, not do as bad. Whatever that is, would you please get in the Bible just long enough to get one promise that goes against that? Maybe you've been struggling with depression lately. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's enough of a promise to birth something new in your life. Maybe your finances are struggling. There's tons of verses about God's blessing, financial blessing on us. Maybe you have a physical ailment. There's tons of scriptures about how God heals all of our infirmities, cures all of our sicknesses. By his stripes, we have been healed. I mean, there's so many promises that on today, I just want to encourage you, especially moms, but everybody, find a promise that you can believe for going into your future. Maybe it's your family. Maybe your family's at a place you're like, you know what? I thought it wasn't going to be like this a year ago. And now here I am here. Okay. God is still God. God is still God. The Bible says one of the first promises I ever found was for my family. And it says that through Abraham, those of faith, their family will be blessed. All the families on earth will be blessed through Father Abraham. Which means faith in Christ, because he's the father of faith. And I start believing that and praying that for my family. I mean, I'm so blessed now. I can see my daughter, son-in-law, and my grandkids are here at church. I'm so blessed. But when I first started praying that, that was not the case. But today isn't about just today having this lovely service, a good preach, a good ceremony. Great, let's get it. Today's about a reset. I just want to encourage you. Let's look 10 years down the road. Let's look 20 years down the road. What did we used to believe God, when God said, you're going to do this, you're going to have this, this is what your life's going to be. Dust that thing back off. And even though it doesn't look right, it doesn't feel right, you don't know how it's going to happen, just say to God, God, you can do anything. With you, nothing's impossible. With you, all things are possible. Lord, have your will in my life. Let it be unto me. I love Mary's. This is Mary's response. I just think it's so perfect for all of us all the time. She said, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Not according to the faith I have in your word. Not according to me being really good and believing your word. Not according to how much Jesus is worth and then me stopping this last sin that's in my life. No. Let's copy Mary's answer. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Leave it there. Let's believe God and expect God to do something amazing in our lives. Amen? So I just want to wrap this up with this. I think it's totally amazing that if you're like me, all these years I've looked at this Christmas story and it's never made sense to me. It's like, why does this guy get treated like this and why does this gal get treated like that when they both basically responded the same way? Well, the answer is they didn't. The one had scriptural reference of how God deals with people he loves, and he rejected it, calling God a liar. The teenager, who might not have known any scriptures or very few scriptures, she just said, God, let it be to me according to your word. So now whoever's going to know the script, it's up to God to know his word. It's up to God to keep his word. It's up to God to be faithful. All of it goes back up on God. And that's where we need to be, Christians. Because all my faith is in Jesus. All my hope is in God. And with that, when we stay orientated like that, great things will happen. Amen? Let me pray for all of us. As I'm praying, would you intentionally grab whatever that was when I've been talking today about faith and disappointments and things that you thought would happen or would be different than they are right now. As I'm praying, would you just kind of hold that up on the inside, hold that up to God, and just remind him that you love him and that you've been carrying this in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every woman here in this building this morning, every woman that's listening on the internet, every woman that might be out in the parking lot listening on the radio. Father, would you please bless them? Lord, I know we have moms here that have several kids, moms here that have only one child. We have women here that's never had a child. But Lord, so many women here in this day and age that love people at church, that mother people at church, whether they're biological kids or not, and they put great investments into the rest of us. And I pray, God, for you to bless each one of them. Each one of them, every mother that's in this house, this is a family house. That's what we said about cleaning yesterday. Well, we still believe it, Father. Every mother that's in this house, would you please bless them? I pray for wisdom and discernment. Would you please give these women wisdom and discernment, godly wisdom and discernment? Would you remind them of the scriptures and how they can treat their kids, how they can treat their spouses, how they can treat their siblings, their parents? But Lord, we ask your blessing on these women. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them flourish. We want to see them walk in the fullness of what you created them to be. Paul said, I want to lay hold of Christ so that I can know why he laid hold of me. And I pray that for every woman in this place now, Father. Would you show them, each one of them, what was the fullness of your heart and why you laid hold of them for salvation? I bless them into that, your plan and purpose for their lives. And Father, I lift up all the men and the kids here in this place. Lord, we are a family. And so even as these women are turning their hearts, turning their gaze towards you, so to speak, Father, would you help us? Would you help us to lay hold of you, lay hold of your purpose and plan for our lives? Would you help us to be the leaders in the house by being servant leaders in the house? Would you help us to lay down our lives for our wives and for our kids, for our other greater families, even for our neighborhoods and in this church? But Lord, this is a new day. We see it in so many different ways. This place is coming to life. And so once and for all, Father, I just break off the lies of the enemy that seeks to discourage us and seek to convince us of lies so we'll quit believing. I break those off of us here in Jesus' name. And Lord, on behalf of this whole family, I say, yes, God, let it be done to us according to your word. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. So God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I have a rose up here to every single mom here in this place. If I can get a couple of young volunteers. Yeah, the under 40s. Okay. You think it was a rabid dog? We have extras, so if you want to grab one, take to your mom that's not here today or another special woman that's in your life today, you can grab an extra one and take it. Or two or three. Well, happy Mother's Day, and God bless you, and we'll see you at Life Groups this week. Thank you.